What could Iran hope to gain from an assassination that would have brought fierce retribution? And I'm going to try to answer some of these for myself as I go. Well, it might be that they believe that the Obama administration is too weak to actually do anything fierce. And what about the drug cartel? Why wouldn't they use their own connections? Why do they need the Mexican drug cartel? Is Iran not powerful enough to do this on its own? Congressman Ed Royce, who chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Subcommittee on Terrorism, Nonproliferation, and Trade, is commenting on this today. And this is right up his alley. How are you doing today, Congressman?
Doing well.
All right. Give me your overall view of this, the kind of confusing nature of it. Why would Iran do this? Were they really intent on doing it? And did the guy who's being charged here ever have the means to pull it off?
They were intent on doing it. And in the past, we've seen them carry it out before. In Buenos Aires, the intelligence services in Iran and Hezbollah carried out a similar attack.
What is interesting is their past cooperation with drug cartels in Mexico. There was a case of a Hezbollah operative who came over the border in the trunk of a car. His brother had actually carried out a lot of the attacks against Israel. And we have finally caught him in the United States, in the state of Michigan. But he made his way with the help of the cartels. He had bought in Lebanon, by the way. He had bribed an official in order to get entry into Mexico, and then took it from there with the cartels. So we know of the cooperation, and one of the interesting aspects of this is that Mexican authorities have uncovered several human smuggling networks linked to Hezbollah over the last 5 years. Last year, they caught a guy, Jamil Nasser, in Tijuana, Mexico, and he was attempting to set up a Hezbollah network in Mexico and throughout the region. So they already have those ties. But you also have the sophistication of the explosives used by Mexican cartels that's really picked up. You know, they used to have crude pipe bombs. Now they have radio-triggered plastic explosive car bombs like Hezbollah operates with. So the learning curve has been very rapid. And we had a hearing today with testimony from U.S. government, an ex-agent, about this level of cooperation.
What's in it for Mexican drug cartels and human smuggling groups? Why would they do it?
The money. As one deputy sheriff told us once in a hearing down on the border, you can move anything and anybody over that border for a price. So for some time now, these terrorist groups have been working with narco traffickers, and it's sort of a symbiotic relationship. Each gain from the other. You can learn how to make better tunnels. You can learn how to make better car bombs on one side, and on the other, you gain access into the United States, which is something which these terrorist groups really would like to access.
But if you're a Mexican drug cartel, aren't you risking putting the spotlight on yourself and forcing the U.S. government to act in a way it hasn't yet, or even the U.S. government pressuring the Mexican government to do more? Why would you draw this attention on yourself when you're making all kinds of money smuggling drugs over the border?
You are making all types of money, and you and I would think it would be rather odd that they would move a Hezbollah operative over the border. But we have the very real case of Mahmoud Karani, who was trained by Iranian intelligence, who is serving in federal penitentiary today. And in fact, it was the cartels who made for him a special compartment in which they could hide in the back of a car, back of a vehicle. And for a hefty price, they brought him over the California border. So this is the type of operation, cooperation that we've seen in the past, and I think we're going to see more of it, unfortunately.
If that's true, that says a lot about how little respect they have for the U.S. government and for the U.S. government's motivation to shut them down.
Well put. I think that's exactly right. And the fact that today it's no longer just Hezbollah. The testimony we heard today on the terrorism committee subcommittee was of similar ties on the part of Al-Qaeda. So you have a number of different terrorist organizations all trying to develop these relationships, which will allow them to achieve achieve their goals. The concern I have with all of this is border security on that southern border, because this has become a sieve. It's clear that such individuals could not only bring over, you know, cell members, but they could also bring, you know, potentially someday WMD over the border. We have two cases where there were sort of a test run on the part of the U.S. government to test our ability on the southern border and northern border to catch, in this case, a dirty bomb coming over the border. In both cases, the border security failed. And that's partly because we haven't done enough by way of extending the border fence, a double fence on the border that would help defend the border and be a force multiplier for our border patrol. It's because we haven't done enough also in terms of giving the border patrol the tools that they would like to have. And I would criticize both administrations, this administration, the Obama administration, and the past Bush administration, for not attempting to follow the law. The law is in place for the construction of that double fence on the border, which we've had testimony from sheriffs, we've had testimony, you know, from Border Patrol agents in terms of how effective that is as a force multiplier for them. It hasn't been done.